Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I just can't stand the hate, you know?
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Oh, what can I say about today?
Well, it's about 1 minute after the hour.
It's August the 3rd, 2012. You, of course, are listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. And there's not much going on in the news, but there's some interesting stories. I, of course, have to get into each and every one of them. There's Chicago crime silence. That's what it's being called. Silence in Chicago. And there, of course, is the Chick-fil-A fizzle. The kissing. I didn't anticipate much. Not many people got much of anything. I expected a couple of homosexuals standing outside or standing inside of a Chick-fil-A. Boys and girls with their tongues in each other's mouths, showing their solidarity for homosexuality and their apathy for COO Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A. But we got nothing. All of the lackluster news coverage of the Appreciation Day that only a few local networks covered. A record number of chicken sandwich sales at Chick-fil-A. It was glorious to watch the American people stand up for the First Amendment right of free speech. And the homosexuals, how did they respond? They responded with hate and vitriol. As they do. Now, you know, I've referred to them as the gay mafia. That's not a term that belongs to me. But I like that term. But I don't think that we can call them the gay mafia anymore. I've decided they are no longer the gay mafia. They are now a terrorist organization. That's who they are. They are the gay terror group. That's who they are. Intolerant, violent, vile, disrespectful, vandalizing cretins. That is the gay community. Oh, I don't care what it is that you do with each other's body parts. It's what you do in the American scope, what you do to America as a whole. It's how it is that you respond, you radical fundamentalist. You are the gay terrorist. And that's what you are. That's what you're out there representing. And unless you denounce those who are out there terrorizing others, you are nothing more than a terror group. You are Hezbollah. That's what, yeah, that's right. Oh, you're not killing anybody, but the hell if you didn't want to blow up a Chick-fil-A today? Sure you did. Sure you did. There were a couple of you out there who wish that you can, you know, light the place up and see it burn to the ground because they don't tolerate gays. So you want to see that, you want to see guys like Dan Cathy dead. You want to see all those people standing for freedom of speech. You'd like to put a bullet in them. Oh, don't take my word for it. I saw you all over the blogs today. You were all over the blogs today. wishing death and destruction on people because they won't accept your lifestyle. You respond to intolerance, as you put it, with intolerance yourself. I understand it. Fight fire with fire. I'm there with you. I understand that. I understand that thinking. Fight fire with fire. But see, I always say that there is a difference between righteousness and self-righteousness. See, righteousness is doing what you know is right. There's a commonplace there. We all know what is commonplace when it comes to righteousness. But self-righteousness is ideological. It's what you think is right. And anyone who disagrees with you, damn them. Now, see, I've been known to be a little self-righteous here, but I always say, hey, look, doubt me if you want to. You may not believe in what it is that I'm saying, but I have turned up to be right, and you'll hate that idea. But see, I'm saying this out of a good place. Now, there are some harsh things that I say. I will admit that. There are some harsh things that I say. But the bottom line is that when I am self-righteous, you know. You know when. I know when I'm being self-righteous. There are times when I can't help it. But I understand that there's a difference between what's right and what's self-right. What you believe is right. And the gay terror group. And I'm trying to think of a great, you know, like Hezbollah, you know, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. I need a good terrorist name for these gay groups. Something, I don't know. Rainbow Jihad. Maybe that'll work. The Rainbow Jihad. That's who they are. That's it. I'm sticking with that. The Rainbow Jihad. Those who are willing to do anything to terrorize. Those who have the right of free speech. There's only one group out there that does not want Americans to practice their right of free speech, of religion. And those are terror groups. And the Rainbow Jihad is now a part of that group, along with the Taliban, along with Hezbollah, along with all of those groups out there. The Al-Qaedas. You know who they are. And that's the bottom line. And we got a perfect example of somebody who's a part of the Rainbow Jihad. Now, I got to make sure I get this guy's name right because I've been trying to remember it all day. Adam Smith. Self-righteous piece of garbage, did something so vile on August 1st, and it was vile because it was unnecessary. You see, only a jihad, only a terrorist group would attack an innocent human being. You know, like the innocent people who die every day in these car bombs. And lunatics who strap bombs to themselves, killing innocent people who want nothing more than to go about their daily lives, make money, feed their family, go to school, make a good life for themselves. And then they're terrorized. They're wounded. Some killed. But it's all terrorism. And this member of the Rainbow Jihad, he decides he wants to videotape his viciousness. Adam Smith, with camera in hand, prepared to terrorize a poor girl, Rachel, beautiful white woman, beautiful young white woman, working at the drive-thru, who couldn't help but be courteous. Damn if her parents didn't raise her right. Damn if she wasn't trained well
by her supervisors at Chick-fil-A. Don't lose your cool, Rachel. Sometimes people are going to be rude. Maintain your cool. Always be courteous. This girl should get employee of the month. But Adam Smith, Rainbow Jihadist, didn't matter to him how sweet this young lady was.
Well, I'm waiting in line. I'm next in line. I'm pretty excited about my free water. I also see, like, a group of 30 college-age students over there. I'm wondering if they're doing a sit-in. I'm so excited I might just join them. Let's see what happens with my free water, and I think I might just say a few words, too. I think it's been a long line. There's a long line of cars, too. I don't know if you can see, but it's, you know, people have to have their Chick-fil-A anti-gay breakfast sandwich. Always tastes better when it's full of hate. Love it. Come on, I want my free water. Come on. I really hope those students over there are going to do a sit-in. I think they are. It just makes sense. Here I go.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. Is this my free water?
It is.
Awesome. You know why I'm getting the free water, right?
I do not.
Because Chick-fil-A is a hateful corporation.
I
know,
we
but...
We treat any of our customers differently. We don't...
I know, but you guys... But the corporation gives money to hate groups. Hate groups. Just because people want to kiss another guy. Sorry?
I have to say this on the subject. My personal belief
no,
should
I
be
understand.
In the workplace.
Yeah, I believe that too. I don't believe corporations should be giving money to hateful
really
groups.
To
totally understand. I'll take my water...
It's my pleasure to serve you always.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm glad that I can take a little bit of money from Chick-fil-A and maybe less money to hate groups.
Well,
have a great day.
We're always happy to serve everyone.
I don't know how you live with yourself and work here. I don't understand it. This is a horrible corporation with horrible values.
We're here to
you deserve
you
better.
Any way that
you deserve better. Rachel, you deserve better. Okay?
Well, I hope you have a really nice day.
I will. I just did something really good. I feel purposeful. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Okay. I'm a nice guy, by the way. And I'm totally heterosexual. I'm not a gay in me. I just can't stand the hate, you know? It got to stop. It's got to stop, guys.
Right.
Stand up.
Have a nice day.
All right. See you guys.
Can you believe that poor girl through all of that? We do not believe that the workplace is the place where you should talk about personal or political issues. We're always here to serve you, sir. I'm definitely here to serve you. I really feel uncomfortable with you putting your camera on me. But we're always here to serve you, sir. Every day, we do not discriminate against anyone. Thank you for coming. You have a nice day. I'm a really nice guy. You seem like a really nice guy, sir. She's repeating that. You seem like a really nice guy. Tries to keep a straight face. I know she's hurt. I can see it in her face that she's hurt. And this guy is spewing all this. It's like, I'm not Dan Cathy, bitch. I'm Rachel. All right? My name, Rachel. You understand me? My name, Rachel. Okay? Now, move your ass, okay, so I can serve other people who were less discourteous. All right? You piece of garbage. How about you get out my face? And if you keep putting that camera in my face, I'm going to punch you in it. Okay? But no. No. She maintained. She maintained herself. And old Adam Smith. I don't know how you can sleep at night. How can you live with yourself? Yeah, they cut me a check on Friday. That's how I live with myself. I go to sleep every night. I'm going to be with my boyfriend later. We're probably going to have a couple of Jello shots, and he's going to take care of business. Where's your boyfriend at there, Adam? He couldn't help but say at the end of that audio that he's not, I'm not gay or anything, I'm just standing up for what's right in my Now, the scary part about this is that Adam Smith is the CFO of what's the name of this place? It's called Vanti in Tucson, Arizona. This took place in Tucson, Arizona, by the way. Apparently, this is a medical equipment company, and this guy is the CFO. He's the chief financial officer of this company, of Vanti in Tucson, Arizona. Well, after he put this on YouTube and it went viral,
this press release came out. Headline. Employee has left company, Tucson, Arizona, MarketWire, August 2nd, 2012. The following statement, the following is a statement from Vanti. Vanti regrets the unfortunate events that transpired yesterday in Tucson between our former chief financial officer treasurer, Adam Smith, and an employee at Chick-fil-A. Effective immediately, Mr. Smith is no longer an employee of our company. The actions of Mr. Smith do not reflect our corporate values in any manner. Vanti is an equal opportunity company with a diverse workforce which holds diverse opinions. We respect the right of our employees and all Americans to hold and express their personal opinions. However, we also expect our company officers to behave in a manner commensurate with their position and in a respectful fashion that conveys these values of civility with others. We hope that the general population does not hold Mr. Smith's actions against Vanti and its employees. So the son of a bitch was fired. And that's not all, folks, because if you thought that the gay rights group had a leg to stand on after about 100,000 people, it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands. They've got to be misrepresented. Because I hear the sales numbers were over 30 million. Herman Cain reported that today. That the sales numbers were upwards of $30 million in a day in sales with this appreciation day. People spending their money to stand up for free speech. That the response by the gay community, who would hold their event 2 days later, the only thing that got pressed was Adam Smith getting fired from his company. And a gay group in California printing a large sign on the side of Chick-fil-A that reads, "Tastes like hate," on the side of the building. And what I find alarming is that this is how they responded. Because they got shown up. They thought that the world was at their fingertips. Everybody supports homosexuality, don't they? Everybody, it's a gay-loving country. Don't they love us? They're not going to stand for anybody who stands for same-sex marriage. Everybody wants same-sex marriage, don't they? And then it turned out that that wasn't the case. It had nothing to do with gay people. It had nothing to do with gay marriage. It had to do with anybody saying that the COO of Chick-fil-A didn't have a right to say that he supports marriage between a man and a woman. They supported his right to say it. But the Rainbow Jihad, the new terrorist group, that's who they are, couldn't stand for it. This jihad could not stand for somebody expressing their true feelings about gay marriage. Look, you don't have to agree, but shut your goddamn mouth about it. You understand? Don't you be going out there telling people that you're opposed to gay marriage. Because right now, we got everybody believing that the world wants gay marriage. You go out there and you start telling people that you don't agree with us, we're going to shut you down. And that's what Rahm Emanuel did in Chicago, mayor of Chicago. Thomas Menino, that's what he did over in Boston. Gray Davis, that high yellow nigga, who's the mayor in D.C., he did it. And these Negroes want to talk about values. Thomas Menino. Boston? Boston politics? Really? One of the most corrupt in years? Boston's got values? When? Chicago? Rahm Emanuel? Rambo Deadfish? His nickname is Deadfish because he used to send his opponents, people he didn't like in the political world, a wrapped up dead fish in newspaper. He's got values? Gray Davis in D.C.?
is right now under ethics an ethics investigation in D.C. right here? Values? These people? What? Chick-fil-A does not support our values? Of course they don't. You got, with these three guys standing up against Chick-fil-A, this is no more than telling Chick-fil-A, you guys are the most upstanding people in the world. Never go to those three cities. To hell with them. D.C., y'all can eat church's fried chicken all day. Boston, what do you guys got up there? You got Boston Market? Y'all will be all right. What's Chicago got? Kennedy's fried chicken? Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, nigga, die slow. Chicken, what do you got?
D.C. doesn't have churches, they got Popeyes.
Oh, yeah, they got Popeyes. Louisiana's best.
New York's got Popeyes now.
It's disgusting. The number is 347-308-8701. Hey, who's this?
Guess who?
Hey! it's the Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery. So, am I out of line by calling?
How is the married, first and foremost, how is the married couple?
Okay, don't get into that right now, okay? I got bigger problems right now.
Okay.
We're doing fine. We're doing fine.
Well, I'm trying to dissimulate because, you know, it's very rare that I actually agree with you.
It's rare that you agree with me. Well, come
very
on.
Very rare. It's rare. But it does happen, and I have to say this is one of those times.
Okay, but here's my question: do you think it's fair for me to call the gay group? I'm no longer calling them the gay mafia. From now on, they're a terror group, and I'm officially calling them the Rainbow Jihad.
Rainbow Jihad. I would have came. I tried to call in because I was gonna come up with Rainbow Warriors, but. You know, Rainbow Jihad, I think, is better.
Jihad is much better. I love it.
So the Rainbow Jihad. But, again, you see the response. Now, by the way, do you have a Chick-fil-A near you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so were there any local reports about how Chick-fil-A responded, or, like, how people responded to Chick-fil-A in I guess you're in Hamden. Is there any report? Hampton. I would say Hamden.
Yeah, Connecticut.
How did you guys fare as far as news coverage? Did they cover that much out
there? Actually, yes, it was. Yes, it was covered quite a bit.
Now, what was their take on it? Because I got to tell you this story before I get your response. There was a guy, if you could see it online, and I'll see if I can find the link, but there was a guy who was out there videotaping on his own, and he's showing everybody who's lined up at Chick-fil-A because he's amazed. He's like, wow, this is such a great turnout.
Well, I've been listening to this. I've been listening. I'm on my computer, so I've been listening to the show. I heard the writer that you put in, and that's why I'm saying I can't believe I actually am forced to agree with you on this point.
Oh no, I'm talking about a different audio. This guy who's just out there filming the reaction of how many people showed up because he thought it was amazing. So he sees the Atlanta CBS, the local Atlanta CBS truck in the parking lot. So he stops them and he goes, "Hey, you guys are looking for parking. There's plenty of parking in the next lot right there." The driver of the truck rolls down his window and he goes, "Oh no, we thought it was a protest. We're not covering this."
Wow.
So if it was the protest, they were glad to be there. But supporting Chick-fil-A and the droves that came out, it was. And this guy, when he showed how many people, it was lines down the road, at least half a mile. Nobody, and they didn't want to cover it. They didn't want to cover it at all. So what was the coverage like on your local news?
Well, on my local news, it was the fact that, again, there was the impetus that it was against this man who supposedly was against gay marriage, or his company was against gay marriage. And which I have to agree was not the case. He doesn't have to agree with it. It's not like he told people they couldn't come.
As an article about my... Okay, well, Mike's sending us an article about his closest Chick-fil-A. So what did they cover anything about the kiss-in?
The kiss-in. Well, it was covered. I didn't pay much attention to it because, again, it was just, you know, something for people to do that really didn't matter anyway. So I know it was covered. But I can't exactly say what the coverage was, and I don't want to go down that road.
Okay, well, I was working in Gaithersburg in Kentlands, Maryland today. I already posted on Facebook. I went to Chick-fil-A for lunch. Not a single protester, not a single gay couple kissing anywhere.
Really?
Not anything. I think that the guy that served me was gay that worked at the Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no protests. There were none of that, but there were plenty of happy patrons. There was a line almost going out the door.
Really?
Yes, there was. And it was, and I didn't go to lunch until 2:30, I want to say. What time did I call you? I think it was 2:30 or something.
Yeah.
I went to lunch probably about 2:30, and the line was almost, it was almost to the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, and people were in there with their kids. They were in there with their girlfriends, their husbands, their boyfriends, their friends.
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure, sure.
When, Mary, when you went to lunch, were you going out to lunch and you just happened to pass by Chick-fil-A, or did you actually go out to Chick-fil-A?
Where I'm working at, where I'm training staff members at this week is just so happens that there is a brand new Chick-fil-A that just opened up in this shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Chick-fil-A. I mean, my other options were like Subway and Packy Food, and I had Packy Food the other day. I didn't want Subway, so I went to Chick-fil-A. So I didn't seek Chick-fil-A out. However, I had other choices, and I chose Chick-fil-A because I like Chick-fil-A and because I support the COO of Chick-fil-A.
Okay, that's the question I asked. That's the question I wanted answered. That's okay.
Yeah, I just think, again, for these people to react the way that they have, clearly it destroys their whole narrative. They look like clowns. I'm sure they want the story to go away now.
Oh, yeah, they do look like clowns.
They really do. If they're smart, they'll let this story go away. And, you know, they'll take it on the chin.
Well, if they're smart, they'll look and see what happened to
like
that
everything
moron.
Else?
If they're smart, they'll look and see what happened to that moron that went through the drive-thru that lost his damn job.
Right, exactly. I just played that audio a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah. The audio where, you know, and he's here's somebody who's there for at least from what I think it was, here's somebody there. Was there to say that, you know, everybody should be able to allowed to have their way or to have their point of view.
Yeah, but
and
that,
you're going to tell her just because she has a dissenting view, you're saying, I don't know how you sleep at night. I don't know how you this, you know. That guy is just...
But you know what, Jamie? I'm glad that you said that because that is the premises of the left party, and that party is the party that you belong to.
No, I can't agree with that. I cannot agree with that.
But
I know
that is the mindset. But that is the mindset of the left party, and that is the liberal. That's liberalism.
No,
that's
not
what it is.
No, it is not. All right. I know that there is more than a few who are constantly brought into the forefront who have that view, but that is not the case. Being a liberal myself, I can't agree with that.
Well,
and I will never agree with that.
James, I will definitely say, speaking for yourself.
Well, amongst other liberals, you would be thrown out of the club.
I haven't been yet.
You would be thrown out of the club and treated just like that cashier was treated at the Chick-fil-A. And I give that girl credit because, honey, I would have lost my job.
You know,
I would have kicked my
with,
after that idiot.
All right. The liberals that I deal with and the people who follow or who walk beside me, not anybody, you know, I'm not saying I'm out in front or anything, but the people who walk beside me would still... would denounce those people too. And I've said before, and I will say again, you're always going to have your kooks. All right?
Yeah.
Who put salt in the game.
Yeah.
But
right.
The message is still the same. I know the people I know don't feel that way.
James, there are a few, but there are some radicals who have completely taken over the party. Hey, listen, let's take a break now. When we get back, we got to get into. Snoop Lion, I have his new single, La La La. We'll play it when we get back. Stick around. It's great.
Hey,
what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we get in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh,
yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve and it's called 211 for that matter is that the police code 211 means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories
like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I don't believe in contempt prior to investigation, although I probably do it more often than usual.
Yes.
But
you do it often enough for people to believe that what you just said is a farce.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is that, look, if I have contempt prior to investigation, it's because I know it's going to suck. And then when I investigate it, it turns out I was right. But there are times when I'm wrong. So I don't know exactly how to take this one. Snoop Dogg, the SNOOPDOGG, has decided that he is now a Rastafari.
No.
Yes, he has.
No, tell me this is not a reggae song.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I should have known because it says Snoop Lion. La,
that's
la,
right.
La.
He's calling himself Snoop Lion, and the story goes... A few years ago, veteran West Coast rapper Snoop Dogg wrote a song asking, "Who am I? What's my name?" The answer was obvious until Monday. His new name, Snoop Lion, and he says that he is Bob Marley reincarnated.
OMG.
The New York Times reports that Snoop underwent a spiritual and artistic rebirth while making a new album in Jamaica last February.
Under the influence of the good ganja.
Yeah. There he was rechristened by Rastafarian priests. I did not know this.
Rechristened, not Christian.
Well, rechristened. Thank you. Quote, I feel I have always been a Rastafari, Snoop told reporters. I just didn't have my third eye open, but it's wide open right now. I'm sure you are wide open, my friend. His new album, Reincarnated, abandons rap entirely and consists of reggae tunes that are, according to Entertainment Weekly, ones that he could perform for kids and grandparents. Vice Media also went with him to Jamaica, and a full-length documentary chronicling the making of the album and Snoop's exploration of Rastafari culture will be at the Toronto International Film Festival. But he hasn't sworn off rap for good, he says. Quote, I could never become Snoop Lion if I wasn't Snoop Dogg. His first single off the album, La La La, has already been...
Well, wait, can released. I say something real quick before you start playing this?
Yes.
Why in the F did he change his name from Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion?
Because Snoop Lion, you know, like Mad Lion. Remember the
like Dumb Lion. He's a dumb lion.
It's a song.
He's a dumb dumb.
Listen to the song first. Talk about contempt prior to investigation. Listen to the song.
No investigation needed. About is it about la 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 and reaping what you sow?
Yeah, I'm sure that
because I don't hear anything else.
I'm sure that the song in essence is talking about how evil men do and the evil men gonna be dead and all that good stuff.
The evil man gonna be dead.
James, what did you get from this?
I'm with Mary. I couldn't get it. I didn't get it.
You
okay.
Know what? Let me tell you what it is, because I get it. I mean, I get the real ish. The real ish is Snoop's going to try to make a comeback for reggae music, and the Rastas in Jamaica are going to supply him with the best weed ever.
You think that
they have some secret supply room.
So you're saying that he's going to create sort of like this boom in the reggae
he's
music?
He's reinventing himself.
I know he's reinventing himself.
Just like Madonna. You know?
Snoop, just roll a L, get high, and spit some rhymes.
No, but he's
wait a minute. Now, I'm like, look.
Didn't he
like swear off weed at one point, saying, you know, it was because of, you know, the kids and all that? A year or two later, he went right back?
It wasn't even that long.
But no, you have to understand this. See, I'm looking at this from a different perspective. You guys will probably agree with me here. I think it's pretty clear. Snoop Dogg is getting at that age where, look, you know, I'm probably 40-something years old.
He is in his 40s. He's almost 50.
The rap thing is a young man's game, you know, and I can't be rapping and hanging out with the girls and other stuff. So I have to reinvent myself in order to stay relevant because I still want to do music, and I still appreciate music. I still appreciate getting in the recording studio and recording. He found something new that could interest him. Hey, here's something I want to try. You know, I want to go in a different direction, see how people respond to it. He knows that he's already a rock star status. He hasn't had a huge
album.
He
would have been better off doing, like, some collaborations.
But no. Here's what I'm saying.
With other musicians. Reggae shit.
Just did that.
Well, hold on.
Didn't he do a collaboration with Wiz Khalifa? Didn't they just make a movie?
That's what I'm saying. He's done all of that. But I'm saying that right now Snoop Dogg is a rock star. I mean, you know, the guy's done movies with Ben Stiller. He's done movies with Vince Vaughn. He's all over the place. He's got some of the most famous friends in the world. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody knows who Snoop Dogg is. When Willie Nelson knows your name, dude, you're a big deal.
Of course Willie Nelson knows his name. They both get high.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? But this guy has crossed cultures in so many ways. Everybody knows who Snoop Dogg is. Snoop Dogg could show up at the Country Music Awards. You know what I'm saying? He's a rock star.
Because you know why? Because he smokes weed.
Well, I'm sure it's because he smokes weed, but there's an iconic...
And that's a common denominator.
But no. He's transcendent.
The thing is, Snoop Dogg has become an icon, and he has to stay one.
I can't tell that. I mean, I'm teasing, but...
Yeah, he's become iconic. So when you come with that iconic status, and you're known for getting into this via the music game, you have to ask yourself, well, I love music. It's how I got into this. The reason why I'm a celebrity is because of my music. Well, what other direction can I go? I can't say that I appreciate this song yet. It's not a banger to come out the gate because it's very mellow. I mean, maybe he's sort of like playing a song that people can appreciate, sort of, you know, smoking ganja, driving in a car, doing 20 miles an hour.
No, sitting on the couch smoking ganja.
You know, this is sort of some slow-riding Jamaican music. I don't see this being a banger, but overall, what do you think of it as a song?
As a song, I'm thinking it's just, it'll be accepted in certain circles, and it'll go over huge. Even though I may not agree with it myself, I still think it's going to be, and you're right, it's not a banger, or it's not something I would consider a banger, but it's going to go down in history as one.
Well, of course, everyone is going to talk about it. If there's another song on the album that's spectacular, you know, a song that's absolutely irreverent, someone's going to be, you know, screaming and hollering about it. But here's where I think the biggest issue for Snoop Dogg lies. Radio. Where do you play that song?
What?
Where would that song, where would you feature this song?
At the Yellow Bird?
No,
or Murdoch?
Well, maybe at a club, but you can't play this on the
radio. No, I think he's made an end run around radio.
Well, how do you say? Well, how do you mean?
Well, you could play this on something like iHeartRadio or underground music.
He couldn't play this on a top 40 or a CH.
Well, no, he can play it on a top 40 because it's not a top 40 song.
It's not a top 40 song, and top 40 songs are arguably created by the DJs or whatever. They're not going to be able to play it. The thing is, he's made it, so it's going to have a groundswell. This is going to be underground. This is going to be downloaded. This is going to be you know, it's not going to be played on the radio. It's not. And he's made it so it doesn't have to be.
You know what? He's probably doing the right thing. He probably not only got into this reggae thing, but he knows that underground music is so popular right now. It's almost more popular than regular, you know, than regular music. Underground, a lot of people are into underground music, especially kids nowadays. The youth generation, this generation of youth is really into underground. And
it's not gonna be an album. It's gonna be on mixtapes. It's gonna be underground. You have to be cool or hip to be able to find a way to get it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't believe that the kids really go for this song unless it's played on someplace like radio, the average access. But yeah, you're right. There's going to be some underground people, and there's going to be sort of a groundswell where people talk about, hey, you hear the new Snoop? It's already fodder. Hey, did you hear the new Snoop Dogg record?
Oh, no, I didn't hear it.
Exactly. Somebody else is going to say, oh, you heard, I didn't hear the new Snoop Dogg record yet. Snoop Dogg's got a record.
What? New Snoop Dogg? Oh, what? What? What?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's going to create.
Sorry, it's not Snoop Dogg anymore. It's
that's
Snoop
right. Snoop Lion. That's right.
Lion. Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, if you call him Snoop Dogg, you're not hip anymore.
Right. If you call it Snoop Dogg and you try to look for it online, you might not find it. I'm not used to the whole Snoop Lion thing, but let's see if it takes off. I'm gonna give it 2 months, because 2 months is usually, you know, the, pretty much the telling of whether or not a song's gonna do well or do poorly. So I mean, I'll give it a couple of months at best. I gotta talk about this. This is one of my favorite songs, and I am giving a round of applause to the men's basketball. All right. Did you hear what the men's basketball team did to Nigeria?
No.
Try this one out. Okay. So Team USA beats Nigeria by 83 points. Okay?
Okay.
Now, listen. After the United States was done delivering the most devastating defeat in history of Olympic basketball, an obliteration of Nigeria of a score of 156-73.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, well, come on, man. That's embarrassing.
But wait, there's controversy. Here's the controversy.
Apparently,
officials are upset because they say that Coach Krzyzewski of Duke, they're saying he ran up the score. Now, his response to that makes sense to me, and I'll read it. He says, I take offense to the question because there's no way in the world that our program in the United States sets out to humiliate anyone. When he was originally asked, he said, you can be upset at the score, but he says, quote, we didn't play LeBron James, Kobe Bryant in the second half. And with Carmelo Anthony shooting the way that he did, we benched him. He said we didn't take any fast breaks in the fourth quarter.
I shot down my best players. How are you telling me I'm running up the score? You guys just didn't play well.
But wait. He took down all of his best players. But wait. He said we didn't take any fast breaks in the fourth quarter. We played all zone. They played zone defense. Right? And he said, wait. He said, and you have to take a shot every 24 seconds, and the shots we took happened to hit. if you don't take the shot in 24 seconds, you get a 24-second violation. So you have to follow the rules. So all they did was follow the rules, and they scored 156 points.
That ain't on us.
We ran up the score. We just followed the rules.
We followed the rules. What else do you want? Come on. What were we supposed to do? Just put the ball down in the middle of the court and walk off?
Now,
because it seems to me that was the only way they were going to win, or at least even show any.
Here's the funny part.
The only way they were going to show any face or save any face.
Now, I didn't know this, but Nigeria, the Nigerian team, did have an NBA player on their team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Al-Farouq Aminu of the New Orleans Hornets. And they had ex-NBA player Ike Diougu. He said, but they were completely unable to protect the ball, nor showed an inclination to rotate and contest NBA stars' three-pointers. Whatever happened, the Nigerians had run into a perfect storm. They were beaten at every level. Every time they turned around, literally, they said that the United States had 48 points after a quarter, 78 points at halftime. And Nigeria let itself become innocent bystanders.
Yeah. Well, they were demoralized.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, everybody wants to play. But you know what? I look at this and I go, look, go out there and play the game your hardest. But if you get your ass whipped, you get your ass whipped.
Yeah.
But somebody was saying.
But, I mean, this is a little more than an ass whipping. I come on.
Well,
it seems like, and even the coach was like, you know what? We just put up shots that even we didn't think we're gonna go down.
So what were they just throwing the ball up in the air?
Just throwing the ball and it just happened to go in. Yo, come on. Really?
That's a real ass whipping, though, man. You have to admit, though. That's a score. I mean, Nigeria. Look, when I found out the score, I said, wow. I said, who the hell did they beat? Somebody said, Nigeria. I went, they have a basketball team? They know basketball?
Obviously not.
I've never heard of a Nigerian basketball team anyway, so.
As soon as I heard the score, when I was like, Nigeria, I was like, these guys might get beaten by a WNBA team.
Oh,
and wow. they'd be sore at that, too.
That was hard.
Oh, they just threw too many free throws and too many layups.
Derek the Bounty Hunter.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
So, did you see that basketball game?
What game?
USA versus Nigeria. It wasn't really a game.
Like I said, what game, man? You know, that was terrible. That was terrible, man. You know, to me, at some point, you got to stop the game, man. You're just like, look, enough, you know? That was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. They played. They scored 78 points.
You know? And I don't like you people just saying just because they're black, they're supposed to know how to play basketball, okay? You know
what I mean? That's not what I said.
Wait. Is this coming from somebody that on Monday night on Reason on the Radio, live on
I-95? Yes, he did.
Was talking about we need to get more black players.
That's right.
Now.
We need to get more black
players. No, I was talking about that. I was talking about once the black American athletes got in there, we'll stop piling up the scores.
I want to see Pat Riley.
I want to see Pat Riley's ever going to draft a white guy to his team. A white guy.
Basketball is for Negroes.
No,
apparently
I said that.
For Negroes in Nigeria.
Oh,
well,
man,
yeah,
dude,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Now, you know, honestly, you know what the problem with those cats out there is, man? Dude, they don't eat grits and collard greens, you know?
So they have to eat grits and collard greens in order to play?
Dude,
yeah,
you know,
they're just too busy running from village to village.
You know, shoot, they got damn lions chasing their behinds, man.
Hey, I'm going to find this video. I got to go to the top of the hour because I got two more stories to get into. A minor league DJ who was ejected from the game, but we got to get into the jobs numbers. So I'm so glad that both of you are here.
Because
you are definitely not going to be happy about these numbers. And I want you guys to defend this president because you're going to have to. And I think it's only right. So we'll take a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Reason Radio.
ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I just can't stand the hate, you know?
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart and let that hate out. Hate it out.
Hamburguesas. It's the only big Spanish word I know.
That was very good.
Was it? Really?
It was.
Hey, Teresa.
But what you're eating right now is hamburguesas con queso.
Yeah, whatever.
Or con queso.
Whatever.
Cheeseburger.
That's all I want to know. Anyway, it's 1 minute after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. August the 3rd, 2012. Tomorrow is the president's birthday. He did not get an early gift.
Isn't it today?
That's tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
August 4th. Oh. He did not get an early gift this year. Very, very sad job reports, although it was better than last month. But it was not what he expected. About 163,000 jobs in the month of July. The much anticipated jobs report came out this morning. Here's where it gets ridiculous. So the report says that the unemployment rate jumped up to 8.3.
Well, the White House
says that it was not 8.3. What you talking about? It's 8.254%. Well, check this out. In math, this is what they teach you. When you're using a decimal point and you're talking in percentage, you generally round up when the number after, when the second number after the decimal is a five or above, you round up to a just 0.3, not 8.254, 8.3%, homeboy.
I'm embarrassed by the President of the United States that he and that White House would play semantics with the numbers. That's what I'm embarrassed by.
8.254%.
So, the unemployment rate goes up, nonetheless. There were more jobs that were created from last month. I think it was, what, a dismal 64,000? I think it was a little less than
last month. And then this month, there was
163,000.
But at 163,000, how many people dropped out of the workforce?
That is where it got ridiculous because the numbers are in 150.
How can you create more jobs? More people have gotten jobs. However, the unemployment rate, the percentage is higher. And it's actually been the high. It's, for the amount of time that it has been at this rate,
mm-hmm.
it's been the high. It's stayed that long since the Great Depression.
Now, here's where the big question comes in. Fact being, no president has ever been reelected where the unemployment rate was above 7.9%. So we bring in the group, because I know I'm going to get some hay for this. How do you guys possibly believe that Obama is going to be reelected? Derek.
Because you're a Republican candidate, everybody knows he's just full of it, dude. I mean, this guy says, and he'll say anything to be elected. I mean, like I said, you know, come on, no, listen. Yesterday I was getting on you about Obama and Romney care. He wants to get rid of the system that he created, that created probably the best healthcare system in the country.
Okay,
you know, but he said that's not good enough for everybody else.
But Derek, come on,
people look at this guy and don't believe him.
Can you know anything about Obamacare? Can you name me anything about that is in the Obamacare Act? Can you name me any facts? Can you give me anything to back up the fact that you want Obamacare and you love this freaking Barack Obama because of Obamacare, other than the fact that you had to spend $1,000 in the freaking ER?
Let's go back to that. Okay, you know, we sit over here. You know, we talk about, you know, when I went to the hospital and I got six stitches and a tetanus shot and it cost $1,000. Now, under Obamacare, right? You're saying that if I don't get
If I don't have insurance, I get a penalty. But you know what? His penalty will still be less than $1,000 if I did, for my six digits and
Derek,
a shot, man.
Derek, that's not true.
To you people, and then I sit over here, and you guys are sitting over here saying that keeping people's children on their insurance till 26 is a bad thing, or you know, making sure these insurance companies can't kick off people because of they have inherent medical conditions is a bad thing. Come on now, and like I said, and then you go back to my situation where you're sitting over here saying the current situation is good. The Republicans don't have anything to replace it. You're sitting over here saying no, leave it the way it is. It's good. It's BS, dude.
Derek, here's your biggest problem. One, you're forgetting very, very key facts in Obamacare. First of all, if a person makes $24,000 a year, let's say someone makes $27,000 a year, does that person have to purchase Obamacare?
Look, you know,
to the question, Derek, please.
Yes, they do.
Okay, how much is Obamacare a year?
You know what?
Please, Derek, answer the question.
Well, like I said, you know what, man? This whole thing hasn't been implemented yet. And, you know, when you add all these people to this insurance roll, the insurance rates are going to go down. See, so until this whole thing gets implemented, and it won't be implemented totally till 2014, we cannot tell. You know, come on now.
How much is Obamacare a year?
We're not sure yet, man.
I know how much it is.
How much is it?
$12,000.
So it's going to be $1,000 a month for insurance? Man, start living in the Twilight Zone, man. Give me insurance now isn't $1,000 a month, man. So, insurance right now isn't $1,000 a month. So don't sit over here and say all of a sudden it's going to increase. You know, come on, man. I see the insurance that they offer for families on TV isn't that much. Talk about $300 a month max I've seen on TV down here in Florida, man. So don't come over here and tell me all of a sudden it's going to go up to $1,000 a month. Y'all crazy, man.
So no one has competitive prices anymore. The government runs it. There's no competitive prices.
So you're sitting over here telling me, what kind of bet do you guys want to make that insurance is not going to be $1,000 a month? What kind of bet can I make with you fools? Y'all are outrageous here.
Never just be quiet. Just be quiet for a minute. Listen.
It's not going to be $1,000 a month. I'll bet you anything.
Derek, it's $12,000 a year, dude.
Dude, and like you said, that's $1,000 a month. Insurance is not going to cost $1,000 a month for a family. I will bet you anything, Matt Reese.
The government takes it over.
Derek, but you just said, hold on. Derek, you said we don't know yet.
That's my whole point. My point was that
your answer was we don't know yet. But here it is. I'm giving you solid numbers on what it's going to cost the average family under this bill. And let's not forget what it is that your employer will get fined if they don't give you health care. That it's cheaper to keep you off the health care in his business and pay the fine. Wells Fargo has already started doing that. They've decided that they are going to do that, that they're going to remove the health care from Wells Fargo and pay the fine for not giving their employees health care because it's cheaper. McDonald's, in fact, there were over 1,600 companies that have taken waivers until 2016 so they don't have to pay the fine until then.
And
so listen, Reese.
Wait a minute.
What's the Republican plan to fix health care, bro?
Plan, Derek. Guess what?
Derek,
you're saying that the alternative to Obamacare is another plan. Wrong. That no one ever asked for a plan except for Democrats. They're the ones who created Obamacare. It's now a tax. It's the biggest tax in American history on every American citizen, especially on the middle class. It's the biggest tax on the middle class in history. This guy said it was never a tax. You heard him say it was never a tax. He told George Stephanopoulos it wasn't a tax. It couldn't be a tax. Now it's a tax. He's running away from it. He can't even stand on that. He hasn't even talked about the Affordable Care Act. He won't even talk about it. And the bottom line is that everybody's furious about the fact that it's been upheld in the Supreme Court. And it is going to be an absolute stipulation
on his reelection. And if you really believe that middle-class citizens who know that this tax is going to affect their pockets is going to reelect this guy and not repeal Obamacare, and you believe that the only way that anybody should repeal it is if they have an alternative, no, my friend. The alternative is to get rid of Obamacare and let the chips fall where they may. And I'll say one last thing, Derek. This is the part that a lot of sorry-ass Negroes are missing, and I'm going to make this abundantly clear. You don't deserve health care, Derek. It's not a right.
Man, you know what, Reese, man? You know, get a grip, man. Look, this, what's going on here is not sustainable. Doing nothing is not sustainable. It's not, no. This current system is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. It cannot continue this way. And like I said, if there was a better plan, why can't the Republicans come with a better plan? You're saying the no plan is the better plan. Man, you guys are crazy.
Bottom line is that you're missing the point. You don't deserve health
care. No, you're missing the point. Something's got to be done about health care, man. This is getting out of control, man.
Yeah,
it is. It should not cost $1,000 for six stitches and a tetanus shot. It should not cost $1,000 for that.
So that more people can be responsible for their own health care and be responsible.
Well, we tried that single payer. Republicans voted that down. Republicans voted that down. So what are you sitting over here talking about that? We already tried that single payer thing.
Derek,
Republicans voted that down, right? Derek. So get that out of your head. The Republicans voted down the single payer thing, man. Come on now.
Derek, here's my problem.
Come on.
Here's my problem. You believe
man, you guys are on Fantasy Island with Mr. Rock and Tattoo, man. All that crap coming out your mouth.
Derek, so you believe that everyone else should pay for everyone else's health care?
Dude, what's going on now, like I said, it should not cost $1,000 for six stitches and a tetanus shot, man.
Okay, Derek. Derek,
cost to be in this country?
$1,000. If you were
$1,000, man. $1,016 to be exact.
Individual health care plan. It wouldn't have costed you that much because you would have went in there and paid a copay. So stop.
Now, hold on, you guys. No, hold on. You guys just said it was going to cost $1,000 anyway. Didn't you just say that?
Hold on. I'm going to let the other guys get in here. Mike in Florida. Thank you for being patient.
Wow. Dude, how did we get from Obama has nothing to get reelected for to this same nonsensical rant about how much six stitches cost?
Well, I'll tell you
why. Healthcare is not a pressing issue of the average voter.
Well, he still hasn't. I know, Derek. And in fact, you know what? You're right. Because we get into this healthcare debate all the time with you. Let's just deal with the facts. The President of the United States has the most dismal
unemployment
record, 41 months above 8%. Okay. GDP is at a ridiculous rate of 1.7%. The average high is 5 to 6% GDP growth. He's never ever seen that since he's been president of the United States. The guy said that if he didn't have the economy, in its proper place in 3 years, it was a one term proposition. So everything it is that he said that he was going to do, he didn't do, said he was going to...
And he actually made it worse.
Said he was going to cut down the debt.
What has he done? He caused us to invest in General Motors, right? He spent how many billions investing in GM? Shut up, Derek. I'm making a point. I'm making a goddamn point. General Motors stock price is plummeting. They're losing their asses. He's invested us in a failing company to the tune of billions of dollars.
GM is the largest selling car company right now.
Do you understand the point that they're losing money?
Well, GM is the largest selling car.
Their stock price is in the toilet
right now.
That they're losing money.
You're talking pure nonsense, man. How are you going to sit over here and
you
say
don't know what the F you're talking about?
We should get Americans to say the hell.
Everybody stop. Hold on. Derek, you're missing the point here. He's making – I'm sorry. I put Jamie on hold. Wait, guys. Hold on. Jamie, I'm sorry about that. Mike, forgive me, Jake. Hold on, because these two, they fight all the time.
And Mike, I understand your frustration because I can hear it in your voice. It's like he just doesn't want to stop. Derek, sometimes you just got to stop and let people make a point. I know you want to make a point. We hear your point.
No, he refuses to listen to anybody's point here. Let me bring a calmer tone here.
This guy never, ever loses his cool.
Edward in Connecticut.
Hey, what's up, Reese? Hey, man, these two guys are going to go at it, man.
I swear, and they both live in Florida. I'm afraid to have them meet. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of things. The first one, James says that the price of insurance is going to go down. That's not possible. When in history has anyone, what Obama's planning to do is increase the demand of a limited product, which is medical care.
Right.
And you never can increase the demand of something and have the price go down. It's never happened with cars, with rents, nothing. You increase demand, the price is going to go up. The second thing I want to talk about was he keeps talking about this $1,000 six stitches that he was charged.
Right.
And saying it's too high. You can't say something is too high without knowing the costs that go behind that. A hospital has a lot of costs, a lot of insurance, a lot of taxes to pay. The people who provide the medical care that he's getting, they have to pay back student loans. They have to pay back their own educational costs. You know, all of these costs go into the price that you're charged.
Well, it's funny you say that, Edward. I'll let you finish. But hold on, James. There's a point that must be made. See, Derek, I've talked to Derek about this privately, and I've said to Derek over and over, he always seems to forget that, you know, he believes that cost should be down, but that I always say, you know, there are people in this – can I give a perfect example? I'm sorry. Derek made this point to me one day. He said the reason why teachers should get a pension after they retire is because you won't get people to take those jobs anymore if they don't have those pensions. That's Derek's biggest argument. He says you'll never get people to take that teaching job if they don't get those perks, like health benefits and pensions. You know, they get money after they retire.
And the reason that they won't is because they're not really paid much.
Right. The average in the United States is $50,000.
Which is really nothing.
Okay, but the bottom line is that Derek says that you have to give those teachers that money because they would never take those jobs if they didn't have those perks. So I'll make the same argument. Does Derek believe that a doctor would become a doctor if he knew that his cost was going to plummet because of Obamacare?
No, that his cost was going to go up.
No. The cost was going to go down. In other words, Derek said the $1,000 was too high. His costs are going to be charged where he can charge patients are going to go down. Who's going to go into that field if they know that they're not going to get paid
and
for what they
already,
do?
There's already an entire committee of, I think, over 100,000 or close to 100,000 of doctors that are saying they are going to not, they're just not going to practice. They're at retirement age, and they've made enough money to where they can retire thus far. They have investments. They can invest that money in something else, and move on with their lives. They won't do it because it's not going to be worth their time anymore. And healthcare does cost a lot. It costs.
For
optometrists to renew their license in the state of in D.C., it costs them, I want to say, $800. You got to do that every 2 years. You got to get fingerprinted. In Virginia, it costs, you know, upwards of $500-$600.
Well, Edward, go ahead and finish your point. I'm sorry, we cut you off.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, this thing about cost is something I deal with a lot because I rent apartments. I have a property that I rent, and people complain about the rents all the time. Oh, you know, you don't have to charge $1,000 for this. You're making so much money. And my typical response is this: nigger, you don't know what it's costing me to run this property. You don't know what my mortgage is. You don't know what my insurance is. You don't know how much it costs me to get things repaired. So you have no right to tell me how much I should be charging or how much, you know,
how much
the rent should
be. Now, Derek,
exactly.
I'll let you chime in, Derek, on what I said about the teachers. And you know you made that argument, so don't front. You know you made that argument. You said teachers will not take those jobs if they don't get those benefits. So you're telling me
you're going to cut quality people.
Do you think that you're going to get a quality doctor when you start cutting the price of what it is that they do?
Dude, you know what? Like I said, see, you know, I'm from a little country named Panama, okay?
Yeah.
Now, over there, healthcare is free, dude. Healthcare is free. I know somebody who
is not free, it's subsidized.
Well, so whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Whatever it is, it's different.
And if you have a brain tumor, you can get it and it don't cost you nothing, all right? Come on, man.
No, this is
what's going on here is outrageous. You know, no, what's going on here in America is outrageous. You know, so it makes me want to move to Canada, man. You know what I'm saying?
When the Prime Minister of Canada had to have heart surgery, okay, he lives in Canada where there's free health care, correct? Canada's a westernized country, right? They're not living in the dark ages, right? They're technologically advanced, right? The Prime Minister had heart surgery. Where did he have it, Derek? In frickin' Miami. Dude, come on. Stop talking about the healthcare in the United States is so garbage. People learn to be doctors in Guatemala and come here. Cuba and come here. Iran and come here. India and come here. All of these guys who learn to be physicians in other countries come to work here. And you want to talk about healthcare, Derek? You paid $1,000, but you don't have to in this country. In other countries, they won't see you. So let's be fair here.
What are you talking about? Dude, I know somebody who had a brain aneurysm that's damn broke, man. He went and got the surgery done. What are you talking about, man? Kid is alive right now.
Wait, he went to Panama and got the surgery
done? No, he was lived in Panama. And I know the kid is poor, man. You know what I'm saying? He had a brain aneurysm and shoot, you know? Well, you know, he had a brain tumor, and they, you know, took him to the hospital, and he got this thing taken care of, man. The kid is, damn, you know, this is like 6-7 years ago, all right? So come on, man. You got to come over here
and
other countries,
that
man, you can get
you're saying that kind of practice here should be free?
No, but I'm sitting over here telling you that, you know, in other countries, man, it doesn't cost what it costs here to get health care done. Dude, this is the richest country in the world, man. And, you know, like I
what
said,
are you talking about?
I,
no,
like
not.
This. I know in Panama it wasn't going to cost me $1,000. That one cost me damn $150 for a damn 6 stitches in a tetanus shot. I'm telling you.
Question? Are you confusing health insurance with hospitals?
Look, I'm telling you right now.
No, I'm asking you a question.
What goes
are
on
you
here,
confusing
it
health insurance with a hospital?
Yes, and can I let me
because the health insurance is a private business. The health insurance companies are private business. They have nothing to do with what hospitals do.
No, but I'm sitting over here talking about you. Like your Republicans are sitting over here saying, "No, let's get rid of a health care act and leave things the way they are."
Yes,
the way
I'm
they are.
And Derek,
man.
Can I say, Derek? Let me say something real quick.
Sucks, man.
If you would, Derek, when you hurt your knee, if you would have went to an urgent care center. And got had no. Listen, let me finish. If you would have went to an urgent care center and got a tetanus shot, saw the doctor, and got 6 stitches, it would have cost you way less than $1,000. But you went to the emergency room, didn't you?
Dude, that's what we have here in Florida. You have the emergency room.
No,
or
you have urgent. Derek,
yeah, there's urgent care centers in Florida.
My cousin lives in Tampa. I frequented there, you know, in the past. So I was just there last year. I know what's there, okay? I look for jobs there. I work in healthcare. I know what's there. And they have urgent care centers. You don't have to go to an ER.
I think they're everywhere, in fact.
But you believe that healthcare is the primary factor that's going to keep your president in office?
Dude, like I said, what's going on here, I'm not sitting over here as a primary factor, but what's going on here cannot be sustained. All right.
Well,
what's going on here? It cannot be sustained, man.
Buy yourself some damn health.
But you know what, Derek? You're absolutely right. What's going on here cannot be sustained. That's the reason why he's going to lose.
Exactly.
We'll see. He's leading in the polls in Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Come on now. Why is that? Because nobody trusts Romney. Nobody trusts Romney, dude.
Because I can give that one really easy. Did you hear about those polls?
Nobody trusts Romney, dude. Nobody trusts that dude.
Derek, did you hear what happened in those polls?
Oh, nah. You know, weren't you the last one who told me that these polling people were prim and proper? You told me that. So now all of a sudden the poll people suck like I told you last time? Come on, man.
Each and every one of the polls that have come out so far in most of the swing states, turns out that they were actually polling Democrats by 9% higher than Republicans. In fact,
you're the one who just told me that the polling people, that some poll. What were you telling about polling last time when your boy Romney was ahead by a point? What did you tell me last time about some polling group,
Was
when I sat there and I said they didn't poll me. What did you tell me last time?
One independent poll, which was the Pew Research
Yeah, okay.
But every other poll that's come out over the past 2 weeks,
they were skewing more Democrats than they were Republicans. And that's why Obama was in the lead in every one of them. When you do every other poll, they're in a dead heat.
Okay. Dude, people don't trust Romney, man. You know what I'm saying? People don't trust that, dude.
You know what, Derek? Obama's got to win. Obama's got to win in at least if Obama doesn't win Florida and Virginia, Obama's not getting back in. And Obama's not going to win Virginia. And I don't think Obama is going to win Florida either.
Not with an 8.6% unemployment rate.
And Florida has the highest unemployment rate in the country.
Hey, Reese?
Yes, go on, Edward.
I just sent you an article that shows a second reason why healthcare costs are going to go up, and that's because the doctor shortage that we are going to face is going to be worse with Obamacare.
Oh, well, that's...
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Exactly, Edward, because that's exactly what I was just trying to relay to Derek myself. There's already doctors that are saying we're out. We're gone.
Hey, am I on?
Yes, yeah. You're on.
Okay. Yeah, just to let Derek know, I got on Google and I typed in Orlando Urgent Care, because you live in Orlando, right, dude?
Derek? I think he's there. Well, what did you find?
Oh, there's about 12 urgent care centers in Orlando.
And you could, and actually, he didn't even have to go to an urgent care center. He could have just called any doctor in the neighborhood and made an appointment, and you just pay out of pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up going to an ER because I had to have something done, and my doctor couldn't do it, and it was expensive. And I had insurance, and they took care of it, but you look at what they bill the insurance, and it's crazy. But you have to figure that a hospital is a hell of a lot more expensive to run than a doctor's office.
And actually,
a hospital has hundreds of employees and massive overhead, so that's why it's more expensive. Plus, it's more expensive to cover the people that just don't pay, millions of illegal aliens who don't pay for their care at the ER.
Well, and hospitals, all doctors' offices, hospitals, any kind of medical place that's taking insurance, whether it be vision, medical, whatever, all have a contracted rate.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I used to work. I worked in dentistry, so I know. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go in and pay $1,000 out of pocket. But if you have insurance, what your insurance company is paying back to the hospital is not $1,000. It's going to be significantly lower. It's going to be significantly lower than that because they have to stay competitive. It's not going to be higher.
Right. Yeah, they agree that they're going to accept a certain fee from the provider, from the insurance provider.
Exactly.
And you get paid that. But, I used to work for a dentist, and Florida has Medicaid. And Florida actually has dental Medicaid. And we took it for a while, for about 6 months. And then everybody dropped it. The reason you drop Medicaid is because the government kept paying less than they said. You know, you'd get paid $100 for making a patient a set of dentures. And nobody's going to stay in business and take something that caused them to lose money.
You know,
if you get the government involved, that's what's going to happen.
You know what I find interesting about this, and it's rarely talked about. I heard it talked about a lot in the beginning of the healthcare debate. But, the big argument was that there were some 30 million people who do not have healthcare in the country. I think the number even ranged as high as 40 million. But if you think about that, here is a healthcare plan that pretty much says we want to get all of those people who don't have healthcare on healthcare. So they all have healthcare. They all have this provider, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, if I'm a doctor and I know that I just got 40 million customers, what I mean? It's like, can you imagine somebody swarming the doors of a hospital who now have health care, this affordable health care, and you have the same amount of doctors? You just have more customers, which means it's just going to be a longer wait. Because you can't see
everybody. The doctors are going to make less money. They're going to have more interference in the way they do business. They're going to have some bureaucrat telling them how to practice medicine. I mean, you think it's bad with private insurance now? Wait until they have every doctor under their thumb.
And this is what's going to end up happening is, so this whole Obamacare and the $19 billion stimulus that was put aside for doctors' offices and hospitals and everywhere else that has anything to do with any kind of medical things has to have electronic medical records. Or else you get fined in your, if you take Medicaid and Medicare, you get fined. And a lot of companies, if you take Medicare, you have to be credentialed with Medicaid. If you take, if you're credentialed with Medicaid, you have to be credentialed with Medicare. If you do any kind of durable medical equipment, you have to be credentialed with the Medicare portion of that. It's a totally, it's a DMPOS or something, DMPOS. You have to do all this different stuff. A lot of doctors and everything else will just start, the independent doctors, the hospitals will never do it. But the independent doctors are just going to drop being credentialed with those insurances, and they're just going to stop taking it, so that way they don't have to be fined and follow what the government is making them put into place.
Get the insurance.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. All right. Derek, I don't even know where you are anymore. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm kind of stopped.
Yeah. Someone kind of sounds like somebody took the wind out of you.
Look, like I said, man,
you should go back to smoking weed, man.
Dude, hey, come on now, man. I just say no to drugs, and I like you, buddy.
You need to smoke weed because you're out of control with your rage and anger,
man. No,
man.
Because
you know you want to smoke some weed, so don't hate on
Mike. Okay, trust me, man. That argument you guys, I know you guys are smoking. Yeah.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
And she's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
him. So he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest types. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointing to the number two position at the Defense Department a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Radio. We're back 38 minutes after the hour on the blogtalkradio.com. Okay. Let's take you into this whole new development of Mike Shannon and Messiah. Now, I don't know who heard this, who didn't, but if you haven't, trust me, I'm going to have to pat myself on the back. Try not to break my arm.
Here, let me help you.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Ow! My point was...
abuse.
Katherine Jackson, in an interview that came out this morning, says that she indeed was kidnapped. She said that she was supposed to get on a plane that was supposed to take her to go see her sons performing in Arizona. She said she was met by a doctor.
They don't know who the doctor is, but she claims to know who the doctor is,
whatever. And they took her to some spa. At the spa, they took away her cell phone and her iPad because they didn't want her to have any stress. And then she said when she got into the spa and she was in her room, she wanted to turn on her stories. Apparently, Katherine Jackson is into Bold and the Beautiful or whatever is on. But they unplugged or disconnected her television. And so while Paris Jackson was running around tweeting, somebody took my grandma. Where's grandma? She knew nothing about it. And they kept her out of the loop. No one knew where she was, or at least the kids didn't. And they were worried for her safety. The woman's like 70-something years old. And they kept her hostage. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers, but remember Rebe Jackson? Rebe Jackson sent out that picture of the family sitting around playing Uno? And anybody remember what it was that I said about black people sitting around playing Uno? Does anybody remember what I said, Mary? What did I say about that picture of her playing Uno? I said that she was a what?
She was a hostage.
She was a hostage. I said because Uno...
Nobody plays Uno.
Unless they're in jail.
On their own reconnaissance.
Nobody plays on their own. Nobody plays Uno. Nobody plays Uno. Unless you're incarcerated. It's a big game in jail. I should know. If you see those people playing Uno, something's up. And sure enough, she says that they kept her hostage, kept her locked up, didn't even let her watch television, took away her cell phone and her iPad, couldn't keep in touch with her kids. Well, at least her grandkids.
What I don't understand is...
That picture was a hostage photo.
Well, this is what I don't understand.
It was a hostage photo. You know, they do that in Al-Qaeda. You know, they show the guy... He's grown a beard. He's holding up today's newspaper, pointing at it. You know, send free their political prisoners or they'll kill me.
Oh my God! Stop it.
That's what Rebe was doing. Rebe is a hostage taker, and Janet is right there. While they held Grandma at bay, they held Mama Jackson at bay, and Janet and Randy went out to the compound and tried to get the kids out. Tried to snatch her cell phone. You saw the video. Tried to take her cell phone. Coming to the house. Had the cell phone pictures up. Trying to get the kids out of there. It was Rambo style. Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Well, unfortunately. No. You can't compare it to Rambo. Because Rambo generally, you know, ends up winning in the end.
Well, no. But
they lost.
Right. They all finally... draw back, and they say, oh, they're not going after the money anymore. But I was right. They held this poor woman hostage. Why aren't the authorities
anymore? Wait, what I don't understand is why when she first came back,
right?
Why did she get on and say, no, everything was cool, nothing happened?
No. You remember, no. She's surrounded by the
kids.
Yeah,
she's surrounded by them. That's fine. So then they what? They let her just, they know that they know what they did. And they know that now she's done a little press conference of...
reading a statement.
Everything was okay.
She read a statement, just like a hostage.
Okay, and then they just let her roam free, and then she calls the press and says, listen, I was really taken under hostage.
They struck a deal. They struck a deal with...
Ooh.
The kids struck a deal with Mama Jackson. They struck a deal with her.
That don't make sense.
How can it not? They had to strike a deal with her. Look, we're going to let you free.
If they struck a deal with her, then she wouldn't then come back and disregard everything she said before.
Listen, she's not going to give them up. She struck a deal with them. Since the kids are, you're the primary caregiver of the children, you're going to get the money. We'll let you go, you know. But, you know,
right. And you think any lawyer worth their salt is going to allow her to then, after they struck the deal, if there was a deal per se, they're going to allow her to come and say, well, I was kidnapped.
Well, she didn't say she was kidnapped. She said that she was kind of held against her will. They took her cell phone. They took her iPad.
They took her cell phone and all that. And the thing is, think about what happens with these day spas. Again, that's sort of in the contract, okay? You're supposed to disconnect from everything. All right?
It's not friggin' basic training.
It is. But once again,
no,
I can understand where.
Dude, are you deaf now? No day spa can physically restrain you from your fucking cell phone and your iPad.
No, they didn't. That's the trick. That's the insidiousness of it. They don't tell you they're trying to cut you off. No, they say.
As soon as she says, "I want my phone," they have to give her the phone.
Unless
it's the Hare Krishnas.
That's my point. She says that the fact that they even cut off her television so she couldn't watch TV.
She couldn't see the news because her ass was being reported.
Exactly.
And of course, they weren't going to allow that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. James, you're disagreeing that this is nefarious. I'm telling you, this.
No, I agree. It was nefarious. I think she got kidnapped. I really do.
Okay.
I also believe that, again, it's like being the consummate con man. You don't tell the victim you're cutting them off. You don't. You say,
hey,
this
so
is
you
for you.
You please
can
tell
I put
the
in
things
a theory?
Like this is a
yeah.
serenity
yeah.
place.
Let's...
We want to take your electronics. We want you to relax.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right,
James.
Under that guise.
They fleeced her under the guise of the serenity spa.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Edward.
Yeah, I want to put forward a theory, and you guys tell me if I'm just nuts. I think that what happened was she is getting really tired of raising these obnoxious little overprivileged kids. They're getting on her nerves. She said, I need a break. I want to get out of here. So, you know, her family took her away, you know, let her take a little time to relax. You know, she didn't want to be bothered with the damn kids, you know, calling her up. And now... You know, because people are saying she was missing, was incommunicado. She's got to put forward a story about I was kidnapped so that she can keep the custody of the kids.
Okay.
This would be the first time she's raised kids in her life, actually. If you take
that at face value, yeah, I could see that. However, again, when she first came out to the public or the media, she said, my kids would never do that.
Right. She said her kids would
never
do that.
She said it herself.
Right. And today's statement completely contradicts that.
Because now, after everything is over, after everything is all said and done, she's starting to see, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, well, now that would just make her senile. What did you have to say, Mike?
How can you sit back and say you love Katherine Jackson when everything indicates she was either an inattentive mom or a co-conspirator in brutal child abuse?
That's okay. I agree with you, babe.
Well, now the thing is, now what you consider a co-conspirator, the fact of the matter is that there are other people involved in this.
She let Joe beat those boys with an extension cord for missing steps. How can you say she's not a co-conspirator?
Okay.
There was nobody else in that house in Gary,
Hold
Indiana
on.
Back
Hold
in the 60s.
All right. Yeah. Now, nowadays, we can see how that's not the case. All right? But back then,
it was never acceptable to beat your kids with an extension cord.
It wasn't even considered abuse back then.
Was it abuse when the slave master did it?
I tend to agree with James that probably back then, that beating your kid with an extension cord, although it was probably frowned upon, the term child abuse would not have been employed.
Yeah, I mean, my mother...
No, the term child abuse only came up recently.
Yeah, well, not recently, but within the last 20, 30 years. But, you know, I agree with you. With the advent of things like, you know, BCW and ACS and all that other stuff. But, okay, so here's my premise. So is it fair to say that you guys agree with me with the whole idea that – excuse me – that the whole idea
– I think she got duped. I think she got duped. She found out about it. And, again, yeah, now she's trying to say, okay – look, I see the writing on the wall.
So, okay, so my question is, do you believe that that whole display she did on Nightline, where she got all of her kids surrounding her and she's reading a statement, do you think that was a forced read?
No.
No. No, I don't.
Mike?
No, I don't. Because, again, it also leads to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, at the time, she was operating under the information that she knew.
Okay,
at the time.
Mike, do you agree with me that she's reading this like totally, like this is being forced for her to read that statement?
I could really not give less of a shit about these people. Okay, screw these people. You know, when I'm reading a news story right now that Russia is sending warships full of Marines to Syria, the fact that we're debating whether a bunch of insane privileged Negroes kidnap grandma.
Whoa.
You said insane what, Negroes?
Insane privileged Negroes.
Insane inbred Negroes.
Insane privileged Negroes.
Okay.
Either way.
And which of those three statements is not described to Jackson?
I don't hear a rebuttal here.
I'm trying to come up with one because I'm
there's
just
not a Thane Jackson at all.
Been like that.
They've all been rich since the 60s. They don't live in the real world. I just too bad the Scientologists didn't get their hooks in them and take all their damn money.
Well, yeah, you're at you know.
You know what? I'm finding it hard to disagree with you. I really am.
And James, that's why we love you, because when the man is right, the man is right. And at least you know you agree with him.
Hello?
Yes?
I didn't say I did. No. I said I'm finding it hard.
I mean, there's only one really talented Jackson, and he's dead, and his talent left him about, what, 1990?
At best.
When he's white.
Well, see, now, if I say anything against that, then I'm actually proving your point. We have more things to talk about than the Jackson. So
I wanted to bring up the point that woman changed her story all of a sudden, and the fact that the police didn't get involved, I find that odd, because the woman has pretty much said that she was kidnapped. That's what I'm saying. And not one person even said that was odd. How does this woman come out of that?
It is odd. No, allow me to agree with you. It is odd, but this is a woman who, wait a minute. Actually, it's not that odd at all. This is a woman, all right? Now, regardless of whether we think it's right or not, us outsiders, okay, Joe did create a dynasty.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I have no dynasty. A dynasty would be several. A dynasty would imply several generations of talent, and there's only one.
Several generations. Let's see. Well, I can think of two.
At least.
No,
but that's
they're
not
all
a dynasty,
in the same generation, dude.
Because
Michael and Janet are their kids would be the next generation of Jacksons, and there's no talent come out of that gene pool.
And they're kind of like famous only by name only.
Yeah, I mean, who was the third generation Jackson?
The fact of the matter is.
Dude,
it's happened.
Nah, they're done as far as talent is concerned. But give it time.
They may be done. Yeah, I mean, there may not be any other talent coming out of it. There may be no new albums or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, the Jacksons are going to. They're really sort of American royalty.
Really?
Really?
Really? Yes. Think about it.
No, they're not American royalty.
They can act the way they want.
The Kennedys are American royalty.
Yes, for them.
Exactly. The Kennedys would be considered royalty because they can do no wrong in American media.
Okay.
And even when they do wrong.
Kick their asses too.
I'm sorry, guys.
Kick their asses just right. Oh, as a matter of fact, they're both named Joe.
That's funny. Hey,
you know, if Mike, if they are considered American royalty. You know, black people in this country have got to up their standards some. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Mike,
I'm not just saying, you know, and it's not just black people, because, I mean, come on, you said the Kennedys. You said the Kennedys. That's white.
You know, Chris Rock had a bit where he said back in the 80s, everybody said, who's better, Michael Jackson or Prince? Well, guess what? Prince won, buddy.
Prince won because he's still alive. And he's still, and he found God. He changed his name. He's constantly reinventing himself.
Mike, not to change the subject, but I have no choice.
Please do.
Where did you hear that? Was this just reported that Russia was sending Marines to Syria?
Yeah, it's I think I got it off Drudge.
This just came across the Drudge Wire now?
Yeah, it's on LA Times actually. Russia sending warships with Marines to Syrian waters.
Looking right at it. So, question. Do you think that is in response to Obama sending CIA operatives to do this?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And what I don't get, man, you know, the media is reporting this like it's a good thing, right? Oh, you know, Assad is a bastard. Well, they said Gaddafi was a bastard. But what they don't tell you is that shit's a whole lot worse in Libya now for everybody who under Gaddafi.
Oh, well.
You know, the rebels that are there now are going through and killing black Libyans and torturing them to death. They're going to impose Sharia law in that country that didn't have Sharia law before. The same thing that happened in Egypt, and they're trying to do the same thing in Syria. And I don't understand why we want to depose stable, fairly secular regimes in favor of Islamism.
Well, this president's not going to go to war over there.
I don't know, man. You don't have to go to war if you can use your CIA and your black ops to back the opposition. We did it twice in the past 2 years.
Well, I agree with you, but you know what? This regime has been allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to take over both of those places, Egypt and Libya. And you know,
and now they're threatening to blow up the pyramids in Egypt. These crazy ass Muslims.
Are they really going to? Are they really planning on doing that?
Yeah, some of these sheiks are saying that it's a remnant of paganism or something, and it's not Islamic, so it should be destroyed. Just like the Taliban blew up those ancient Buddhas in Afghanistan.
Well,
so good job, Barack. Way to tell everybody you're not a Muslim. I totally back in the crazy Muslims.
Okay. We are coming up on the end, baby.
Where you been, buddy?
I just got back from margaritas.
Yeah,
JC, you sound like you had a few margaritas.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just glad it's you this time.
I just glad it's I just came into the house. But let me tell you something. Them Jacksons are a whole lot better than goddamn Osmonds.
I beg to differ there.
Hey, man. One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl.
There you go. Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Hey, we missed the dance party.
What's that?
I
will do a dance party next week. I promise I will do a dance party.
Yeah, you haven't been doing that on Friday nights anyway.
Yeah, I know. I actually haven't been sending it, but I promise I will do it soon. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you, as always. Mike, of course, always keep tweeting, man. I love it when you send me tweets, man. You brighten my day with them.
Good.
Oh, by the way, Mike, listen.
Yeah.
I am going to start doing this next week. Please tell everyone the tweet that you sent me of that website that I
did I not just read that Clinton Eastwood is back in Romney?
Yes, I read that. But Mike,
tell everybody
the name of the website.
I sent Drudge Report.
Mike, do you remember?
What tweet?
The one that you sent me with the website called Stuff That.
Oh, it's Stuff That Black People Don't Like.
Ooh!
The website
it's stuff black people don't like. .blogspot.com.
And as soon as I read it, the intro, the the preamble to this website is beautiful. You've got to check it out if you get a chance.
It's pretty funny.
It's hilarious. And I don't know how, Mike, where you found it, Mike, but as soon as we were on the road coming back to New York. Coming back from New York. And as soon as I read it, we had stopped at a roadside stop place, you know.
A rest stop.
Rest stop, whatever. And
In Delaware.
And I read it literally. I stopped in the middle of the place and just started howling. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
They were heating up a stromboli for him. And he's standing there. I'm standing next to him. I've already, because we both got something to eat. I've got my food. He's waiting for his stromboli to be heating up, and he's hysterical laughing. I'm like, what is wrong with you? What are you laughing at? And he's like,
the hundreds of thousands of people standing in line at Chick-fil-A?
Yes, I did.
On Wednesday, right? Yeah. And did you hear any reports of any violence or rioting or any kind of police
problem? No, there were none.
No.
Now, imagine if that had been the release date for new Air Jordans.
Okay, Jamie, what did you want to say?
Last thing, go ahead, James.
Jamie, come on, you're going to get cut off.
All right. So how was the first week of Connubial Bliss?
The first week, Jamie.
It's going on the fourth.
It's going on the fourth week. Tuesday will be 4 weeks. We got married July 10th, 2012.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
But it is wonderful. It's just like the first day.
Oh, that was sweet of you.
Aw. I'm going to get a freaking car seat.
What?
Double up on my insulin. I'm going to get fucking diabetes.
Exactly. It's a double up on his insulin.
Aw.
Hey, Reese, man, you're going to have to get us all together.
Yeah, we'll get together. Guys, have a good weekend. Thank you.